guide for parents. In years gone by, most of us grew up watching television, videos, perhaps even VHS or Beta videos or DVDs. But today, our kids are consuming huge amounts of content on the video blogging platform YouTube. In fact, many of our kids' career aspirations now involve becoming a famous YouTuber. That's right, YouTube has become our kids' and our teenagers' digital infatuation. Kids are spending enormous amounts of time. In fact, it's usually the most common platform digital tool that kids and teenagers are using, aside from gaming and social media. So in this masterclass, I'm going to explain the difference between YouTube and YouTube Kids. I'm going to explain both the risks and the benefits of our kids using YouTube, and then I'm going to give you some practical strategies to ensure that your child can use the platform in healthy and safe ways. For those of you who I haven't met before, my name is Dr. Christy Goodwin. I'm a digital well-being and productivity expert, a researcher and a mum, and I understand the digital dilemmas that parents face. I take the research and science and translate it into practical, simple and realistic strategies for parents. And that's exactly what I'm going to do in today's video. YouTube is the world's biggest video streaming service, and it's filled with all kinds of material, from religious videos to funny videos to crude, kid-friendly, even educational material. And there are some staggering statistics that indicate just how insanely popular this platform is. We know that 300 hours of video are uploaded to the YouTube platform every single minute of every day. That means that nearly 5 billion videos are viewed on the platform each day, and there are 30 million visitors visiting the site each day. So it's a little wonder that our kids are gravitating to this platform, and in doing so, this poses both some benefits and some risks. If you haven't already done so, please make sure you download the PDF summary sheet and the resource sheet. The resource sheet with this masterclass has some additional links to resources that may help you as parents, link to resources that are dynamic that will possibly change over time, and also some links to also show your children. So what we're going to cover in this masterclass, I'm going to distinguish firstly between YouTube and the YouTube Kids platform. I'm going to next explain the psychological appeal of YouTube. It's no accident that YouTube has been designed to keep our kids hooked. I'm going to then explore some of the risks that the platform poses to children and teenagers, and also provide an overview of some of the benefits as well. And then we'll wrap up with practical, realistic solutions to keep your kids both healthy and safe on the platform. So YouTube Kids, as I mentioned before, is an incredibly popular platform. Names like Ryan, Smosh, Jenna Marbles are probably names that don't mean much to you, but chances are your kids are on a first name basis with these YouTube hosts. Their off-the-cuff commentary, their silly antics, well, they're bewildering, at least to adults, subject matter, make these some of the most influential personalities on young people's and teenagers' lives. These YouTubers garner millions, and in the case of a disgraced Swedish gamer called PewDiePie, had billions of viewers. These people are literally enticing a generation of children and teenagers to watch their videos. And kids of all ages are interested, from preschoolers right through to teenagers. For our preschoolers, many kids are infatuated with Ryan's toy reviews. In fact, Ryan is a 7-year-old boy who reviews toys for other kids. And in 2017, it is reported that Ryan made a whopping $11 million from his YouTube channel, coming in at number 8 on the Forbes 2017 list. And he's not the only one. We have gamers who are providing tutorials and cheats on how to play particular video games. And we've got these channels with literally millions of subscribers and millions of views and plays. Justin Bieber, at the time of recording this, had close to 44 million subscribers to his channel. So this is literally a juggernaut. So what is the difference between YouTube and YouTube Kids? YouTube is designed for kids aged 13 years plus. It is not intended for kids under the age of 13, but I am realistic and know that there are many, many children under that age on that platform. We know that children under the age of 13 are not permitted to create or own their own user account. And YouTube clearly states that if they do identify an underage account holder, they will review both the content and terminate the YouTube and Google accounts if they cannot provide legal verification that they're older than the age of consent. Now, YouTube Kids is a relatively new platform. It is basically a stripped down version of the original video blogging site, where videos are filtered according to the target audience's age range. And because it's a mobile app, it's designed to be used on a phone or a tablet, and kids, young kids, can literally tap their way across thousands of videos in this digital ecosystem that are populated by videos. Now, these videos that surface on the app are generated by YouTube's recommendation algorithm, and we'll talk about this later on. This basically takes into account a user's search history, their viewing history on the YouTube platform, as well as other data in terms of websites that are visited on devices that are linked to a Google account. YouTube Kids has been designed as a family-friendly alternative, a place where kids can explore their interests and gain videos that are said to be more child-friendly. But having said what I shared before in terms of the prevalence of videos being uploaded, it is near impossible for these platforms to vet the 300 videos that are being uploaded every single minute. YouTube Kids videos are chosen through a combination of both human-supervised machines, user input, as well as human review. Now, some of the extra features that come with YouTube Kids include offering a timer setting, so parents can literally stipulate the amount of time their kids spend on the platform. There's also the capability of enabling or disabling the search function, giving users obviously greater control to the types of videos and filters that are applied to results for kids. And it also provides an opportunity to cap the volume level as well. So there's some of the key distinctions. Now, in parent seminars, many parents want to know what their kids are watching. Now, I always say in my seminars, a key message for parents is you must be the pilot of the digital plane. You cannot be the passenger. So as the pilot of the digital plane, you need to be very vigilant about what your child is accessing. And this means keeping devices, particularly internet-enabled devices, in publicly accessible spots in the home. So if you are concerned about what your child or your teen is watching on YouTube, my first suggestion is try talking to them. Have open ongoing conversations so that technology isn't something that's taboo or secretive. Now, if you don't get very far or you still have niggling doubts that perhaps your child has watched something inappropriate on YouTube, if they have a YouTube account, then their YouTube page will display their recently watched videos, recommended videos based on their watch history, and suggestions of other channels will give you some fairly detailed indication as to what they're watching. Now, most kids are tech savvy and they know that prying parents will look at this data. So even if they delete their watch history, which many of them do, the recommendations that will come up in terms of up next videos or in terms of suggested channels that they follow will also give you some indication as to the type of content that your child is watching on YouTube. So what is it about YouTube that is psychologically appealing for our kids? It is no accident that our kids are wanting to spend hours of their time on this platform. And one of the reasons is that YouTube, like many popular digital technologies that both kids and adults use, is that it's been designed to prey on their three most fundamental psychological drivers. As humans, we have three core needs, and they are the need for connection, competency and control. And YouTube caters for these three needs so fundamentally. The need for connection is facilitated by users having the capability of commenting on other videos. They can connect to celebrities and other YouTubers via looking at their YouTube channels. They get to be competent by, if they've got their own channel, uploading videos that demonstrate their competency. But even if it's just searching information, they can search for information that empowers them to feel competent. And the third need that they have is that need for control. Literally being able to select the video that you watch next is very, very different to watching television channels, where it is a lot more of a linear process. There are other reasons why kids and teens love YouTube. One of the reasons is that it is a lot more unpredictable. The content and the channels are a lot less linear than traditional TV viewing. YouTube doesn't have, in many instances, a viewing schedule, so content is uploaded intermittently. This means that there's an intermittent variable reward. Kids aren't always knowing that at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, a new episode will launch. So this means kids get a lot of adrenaline, there's a sense of anticipation and the unknown about what they'll find on YouTube. YouTube also caters for our kids' brain's desire for novelty. Our human brain has been wired for always searching for new, interesting, and activities that require minimal cognitive effort. And YouTube caters for that so beautifully. It is always new, it's always interesting, and it is rewarding with very minimal effort. As I alluded to before, YouTube also gives our kids a sense of agency. It gives them a sense of control. They get to choose what they watch next. And thanks to the recommendation algorithm, the suggested videos are incredibly enticing. And this means that curated and personalized content is provided thanks to these algorithms. We also know YouTube often contains very silly or playful content. We know this really appeals to our kids. In turn, this releases serotonin and dopamine and other positive neurotransmitters, making it really difficult for them to turn off. We also know YouTube presents an element of chance and risk. They're not quite sure what they'll get next because a lot of the content is made by amateurs. So it is not as predictable as mainstream television viewing. And the final reason that our kids find it so hard to switch off is that YouTube, with its very clever autoplay feature, means that kids find it hard to get that sense of what I call the state of sufficiency. On YouTube, kids enter the state of insufficiency. They never ever feel done. And we know that children and teens have an underdeveloped frontal lobe of their brain. And that frontal lobe of the brain is responsible for their impulse control skills. So we know when they're using YouTube, they're not able to regulate and manage their impulses as they would normally. Now, this becomes further complicated because when they're using YouTube, it is usually a pleasurable experience for them. So their brain is flooding them with the neurotransmitter dopamine, and this literally, dopamine hijacks the logical part of the brain that would ordinarily control their impulses. So we can see here there's a plethora of reasons why kids love YouTube. It was intentionally designed with some of its very clever design principles to prey on our kids' psychological needs. So what are the risks of kids using YouTube? Well, I'm here to be very honest and say please don't be duped into thinking that YouTube Kids is a safer platform. YouTube Kids has been found to have cartoons glorifying dangerous topics with scenarios like self-harm, suicide, domestic violence, sexual abuse, gun violence, and even simulated school shootings. And all of these platforms were found on YouTube Kids, which is a platform that advertises itself to be a safe place for kids aged 8 years and under. So YouTube Kids, whilst it does usually offer some additional filters and some limitations and restrictions, is still a platform where kids can find inappropriate content. If you've been to any of my parent seminars, you will have likely heard this story where a mother in Melbourne popped a 3-year-old daughter in front of an episode on YouTube of Peppa Pig. Now, she went into her office to make a quick work call and she left the door ajar. Thankfully, she did because she noticed Peppa Pig's tone changed and the Peppa Pig video had transitioned from Peppa Pig into a video of a beheading about to take place. That is right, a beheading. Our kids cannot unsee inappropriate content. I've had a scene myself, another cartoon which was directed at kids. The regular viewing was spliced. So this is a phenomenon called digital doctoring where regular content is interrupted and has inappropriate content inserted into it. After the first few minutes of the regular cartoon, Splatoon was being streamed, a doctored video proceeded and it showed an image of a man walking onto a screen and he addressed the kids and graphically described ways that they could slit their wrists. And then after he'd provided those graphic instructions, he walked away and the cartoon resumed. Now, unless parents are there physically vigilant and watching this content, if their children are young, they often lack the language skills to explain what they have seen. And I have heard from many, many parents about how their children have been psychologically distressed after seeing content that is not appropriate for their age range. There was a phenomenon back in 2017 called ElsaGate, where this is where disturbing videos that were masquerading as children's content, were being uploaded. Now, YouTube did respond to this. They, at that particular time, decided to close some comment sections on videos with children to attempt some of the predatory behavior by pedophiles. But we know that thanks to the Google algorithm, that once children search for a particular popular topic, such as Elsa, that their feed or their up next suggestions can become populated with other inappropriate, creepy, violent content, such as what you see on the screen here when the word Elsa was searched for. We know that adults are making subversive content and using preschool and primary school children's favorite characters and memes to disseminate concerning content. Now, this content involves characters engaging in all sorts of inappropriate things, including pornography. So we need to make sure that we keep kids safe. Now, YouTube tell us that on the YouTube Kids platform, less than 0.005% of videos have been removed. But we know that the algorithm facilitates exploitation. We know in a really distressing trend that pedophiles have been using the YouTube platform in the comment section to provide links to child pornography and to trade unsolicited videos. There are a huge and disturbing number of innocent videos with kids doing things like gymnastics, talking in front of a camera, that have been hijacked by pedophile rings. Predators post disgusting sexual comments and use timestamps in the YouTube clips to identify compromising or suggestive positions. Not only that, many of these videos show up in these recommendations were on platforms and YouTube channels that were monetized. So I think we can all agree that YouTube is the wild, wild west. It is not necessarily vetted or regulated content. Some of the other concerns we have, and I alluded to it before, is that a lot of the content on YouTube is created by amateurs, and that's part of the appeal. You no longer have to be a television producer or a television channel to upload content and have an audience. In the handouts, in the PDF summary sheet, I give you an example of a video that has been viewed over 590 million times. This gives you some indication as to the prevalence and the volume that these channels can garner. Now, the problem with the recommendation algorithm means that once our kids have watched one type of poor quality amateur video, chances are they'll be shown more, and this can create a rather vicious cycle. We're also really concerned in terms of the comments underneath YouTube, in terms of the links that can be provided, as I mentioned before, links to pedophile websites, but also links to inappropriate websites, and also the commentary underneath YouTube clips can be where kids are exposed to all sorts of inappropriate language as well as concepts. Now, obviously, these comments are deleted if deemed inappropriate, but that requires them first being identified and reported in that way. So I've mentioned several times the perils of the recommendation algorithm. Now, Google obviously populates the up next video, that right-hand panel with suggested videos, with highly personalized and curated content based on your YouTube viewing, your general Google search history, and your other online activities that are being monitored. And this was problematic when a mother who was facing a very serious, possibly terminal health issue, had handed her daughter the iPad. Now, she hadn't been using YouTube to search for information, but she had been doing some generic Google searches on her health condition. Now, when her daughter used YouTube, you can imagine the suggested videos that came up in her suggested feed based on her mother's previous search history. So now, whilst you can't filter or remove the related videos, which are displayed in the up next section, you can adjust some of your settings to reduce the chances of your kids seeing inappropriate videos. Google uses all kinds of data to try and tailor the videos in that up next section to your taste. And so there are some things that you can do. First and foremost, turn off autoplay. The related videos will still display, but they won't play instantaneously. This will also help counteract that state of insufficiency that I mentioned before that kids enter. Manage your history. Go to your history in the library section, toggle off your watch history and your search history. Now, this will erase all of the previous data that Google was tracking to identify related videos, and it lets you start afresh. This is particularly important if you are a parent of a younger child and you are handing over your digital device. Formerly, we had YouTube offered something called YouTube Red, and it's now called YouTube Premium, but in essence, it's a paid streaming subscription service that will provide advertising-free streaming of all videos hosted on YouTube, exclusive of original content that is produced in collaboration with some of the site's creators. It also offers offline playback and playback of videos on mobile devices. Some other techniques if you want to overcome the recommendation algorithm is to create playlists. You as a parent or a carer can create your kids' own playlists, or you can even watch playlists that have been created by other favorite YouTubers. In the resource section that accompanies this masterclass, there is a link to Common Sense Media, and they have some suggested channels that are good for kids to watch of different ages. You can also use restricted mode. If you go to the very bottom of your YouTube account and go to the settings gear, it's a little gear symbol at the bottom of the page, you can enable the restricted mode option. Now, this will cut down on inappropriate videos, but it won't completely eliminate them. So please don't be fooled into thinking this is a fail-safe method. You can also give Google feedback. In the up's next section, click on the three dots that display the next to the video, and then select the not interested and tell Google why. And finally, subscribe to channels that you do like or that you do approve of for your kids' viewing. When you subscribe, you'll see these channels in your feed, and it will help the YouTube algorithm to predict what you and your children actually like. We also know, as I've mentioned before, but predators are using this platform to groom many children and teenagers. Many times, predators are using this as a platform as an initial way to gain interest and build rapport, and then they move the conversation off the YouTube platform onto other platforms like Skype or Messenger or in Snapchat, where they can have private conversations. We need to be very aware that predators are lurking in these playgrounds because they know that kids are in these playgrounds and no one is there doing playground duty. We also know that there is a huge amount of advertising on YouTube. YouTube does allow limited paid advertisements that are clearly marked as paid ads. They are also preceded by an ad intro. Now, these paid ads must follow YouTube's strict advertising policies, which, for example, exclude categories like food and beverages. However, videos that are uploaded by users are not considered to be paid ads, so they are not subject to their advertising policies, regardless of the nature of the content. So this means our kids can be watching advertisements for cigarettes, for alcohol, for toys. Many of the kids' channels are subliminal marketing tools. We know many of our popular toy manufacturers are now using YouTube as a platform to promote their products. We know that there are really serious concerns about the data that YouTube are collecting from young users. Now, COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, prohibits data from being collected from kids. This is why YouTube is considered to be only appropriate for kids age 13 years plus. But at this stage, it is very ambiguous as to what data is being mined and where this data is being disseminated. So we need to be having ongoing, constant conversations with our kids and teaching them about private and personal information, particularly if they have their own YouTube channel. My other concern is about the addictive potential of YouTube. Many parents report the techno tantrum when they try to digitally disconnect their kids from this platform. And one of the reasons is because of the design mechanic that has been employed in YouTube. You see, the autoplay feature, as I suggested before, triggers that state of insufficiency. Our kids will never feel done or complete because there's always another video in that up next section, which is exactly what they would like to watch. So this autoplay feature actually promotes binge watching and in turn generates more revenue for the platform because they can share more advertisements. So a key here again is to turn off that autoplay function. So I've spent a lot of time talking about the risks, and it would be foolish of me to disregard those. But I also want to point out there are benefits. There are some really great educational videos that are available on YouTube. Kids can access a range of content like documentaries, interviews, videos of important historical events or sporting events or natural disasters, and these can all broaden their knowledge base. Kids can watch videos about abstract maths or science concepts, and I know many schools are using a flipped model of teaching where teachers are actually suggesting that kids watch or re-watch video tutorials about hard-to-understand concepts either before a lesson or after a lesson at school. Kids can also learn new skills via YouTube. I know kids that have learnt a new language or have refined sports skills or learnt an instrument by simply watching clips on YouTube. If kids have their own channel, then using their channel can be a great way for them to share their ideas with an authentic audience. They have to develop their ideas, they have to rehearse and refine their verbal communication skills, they have to problem solve, they have to use a range of higher order thinking skills that are very different to our kids sitting there and passively watching YouTube clips. So when our kids do have their own channel, if you feel it is age appropriate for them, then you can use it in a much more interactive way as opposed to passive consumption. And on the PDF cheat sheet, the summary sheet, I have a whole section on tips for making sure your children use their YouTube channel in safe ways. And there's also a link in the resource document to a Common Sense media video that also provides some practical tips if your children do have their own channel. So to wrap up, how do we keep kids healthy and safe? Again, in the PDF summary sheet, I've got a range of strategies, but my core message is that we need to plan, not ban YouTube. Banning YouTube will only drive the behavior underground. It will become perceived as the forbidden fruit or something that is taboo. And we know that that only creates more panic and more interest amongst our kids. We need to make sure that we are implementing some of the general technology strategies. We may need to, as with all technologies, as the pilot of the digital plane, we need to encourage kids to use it in publicly accessible spots in the house. Keep YouTube out of bedrooms. Your kids are much less likely to be being groomed by a predator or uploading inappropriate videos when they're sitting next to you on the lounge or at the kitchen counter. Show an active interest in what they're watching online, even if you have to fake it. That's right. Grin and bear it. Stay engaged. Watch what they are watching and keep up to date. Going to the homepage of YouTube and look at the videos that are trending might give you some indication into what type of content your child is likely to be watching. If your kids are young, especially if they're under 8 years of age, encourage them to use YouTube Kids. It is certainly not perfect and it is not completely safe, but it is much less likely that kids will find inappropriate content there. Take advantage. Recently, Google implemented a whole range of digital well-being tools in response to public outcry about the addictive potential of some of these tools. So using the YouTube app, you can take advantage of some of the settings that YouTube offers. So for example, you can monitor how much time you are spending watching YouTube. And this can be quite scary for kids to actually realize the sheer volume of time that they are spending watching this. There's the option, as you can see here, the option to manage the amount of time. So you can ask YouTube to give you a reminder to take a break. So maybe you can set a screen time limit as a parent. You can also see there's the option of disabling autoplay. And you can also allow yourself to monitor and moderate your notifications. Many kids subscribe to lots of different channels and are bombarded by constant notifications when a new video is uploaded, thanks to YouTube push notifications. So now, using the Google Wellbeing platform, you can get all of your YouTube push notifications in one single notification each day, and you can set a specific time to receive your digest. So for many parents, I suggest doing this after your child is likely to have completed their homework or at set times of the day when you are happy for them to have their YouTube fix. There's also the option of disabling notifications, sounds and vibrations. For many adults, resisting the urge to check our phone when it buzzes is really difficult. It can also compromise our sleep, and we know this problem is amplified with young people and teens. So make sure you take advantage of that digital wellbeing tool and make sure you set it up. Install internet filtering tools. I personally use and recommend the Family Zone, and this is where you can not only limit what devices they have YouTube installed on, but you can also moderate when they're able to access YouTube. So perhaps you do not want them using it whilst you're still at work or whilst you're ferrying kids to sport practice after school, but you are happy for them to use it at set times of the day when you will be present. Using internet filtering tools like the Family Zone means that that is easy for you to set up and literally moderate. Again, use the parental controls, set up restricted mode on YouTube, set up a family account so you can actually see what they're viewing and uploading, ensure that safety mode is turned on, subscribe to channels and create playlists, disable autoplay. Most importantly, teach your children critical literacy skills. Help them to determine and ascertain the difference between advertising and regular content. The research tells us that kids under 6 years of age generally lack the meta awareness that they need to distinguish advertising. So we need to start explicitly teaching our kids about some of the subliminal techniques that are used to get kids hooked and understand that they are actually being advertised or marketed to. Again, there's a lot of information on my the resource page and in the PDF summary sheet as to what to do if your child has their own channel. But in essence, you need to make a decision as to whether your child, if they're uploading their own videos, will upload them to either using a private link or an unlisted link. And the distinction between those is in the handouts. You also need to make decisions about whether you will enable or disable comments. Now, if you decide that your child is able to cope with comments, you've got a further choice. Be wary that many of the comments that are posted here are inappropriate. They can include offensive comments, and they can in fact include links to inappropriate sites. Now, if you decide to completely disable comments, that is one option, or you can also provide the option of enabling comments to be uploaded, but only once they are approved. So there are some choices there. We also need to teach our kids, and we need to know how as well, how to go about flagging inappropriate content. YouTube really does. The recent Momo challenge that was proven to be a bit of a hoax, but it proved just how critical this tool was in removing inappropriate content. The problem with YouTube is that it has the content, in many instances, inappropriate content that isn't vetted through their mechanics and their algorithms. The juggernaut really requires us to flag inappropriate content. So YouTube have artificial intelligence that literally just cannot cope with the weight of so much data. Remember, 300 videos are uploaded every minute. So we need to be monitoring what our kids are watching and reporting and flagging inappropriate content. And again, a link on how to do that is in the resource section. So that is all. I'm hoping this video has alleviated your concerns. Perhaps it's illuminated some of the issues that you are unaware of. YouTube is like any other digital tool. It is just a tool. It's neither good nor bad. It really depends on how we're using it. There are both positive and negatives associated with our kids using YouTube. If we are happy to mitigate some of the risks, then we can take advantage of some of the benefits. But this requires parents being the pilot of the digital plane. Until next time, I hope this has been helpful. Bye for now.